Next, we have another Reclaiming History segment talking about firefighters. We have a brave firefighter with us today, Deputy Chief Maria Walker of the Albany Fire Department. She was first woman in this position, and she's going to tell us everything about firefighters. She is a second or third generation firefighter, Chief, welcome to WOOC.
Thank you for having me.
So listen, tell me about firefighting. Is it true that firemen are still running into burning buildings?
Well, we prefer safety, so we don't run. But okay. Yes, they move quite quickly, and we do still go into burning buildings.
So you are a third generation firefighter?
Yes, third.
And so did you start in the fire station with the men sleeping overnight? I mean, I only know about firefighting from watching TV.
Like, I started as a firefighter, EMT, which is emergency medical technician.
So you actually stayed in the fire station with the guys?
I did, yes.
Is it true you guys cook great food in the fire?
They cook great food. I can't say that I'm a great cook, but I've eaten some excellent food in the firehouse, yes.
So what do you have to do to be a good firefighter? Like, what do you have to know to be a good firefighter?
Well, critical thinking is important.
Okay.
Being able to make a decision in a split second is valuable, very important.
Wow.
The civil service exam for firefighting consists of general knowledge information, math and science, about to the ninth grade level.
Okay.
And then you need to pass what is called the CPAT, the Candidate Physical Agility Test.
Is that when you have to carry a person out of a building or upstairs?
It consists of seven stations. It's a 10 minute and 20 second test that begins with 3 minutes on a step mill, wearing 75 pounds to simulate the gear that we wear.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put it down to 50 pounds when you complete the step mill and you finish the rest of the stations, and they mirror firefighting skills.
So everyone does that, male, female?
Yes.
Everyone
has to be able to pass it.
Wow.
It's a nationwide exam.
And once you pass the exam, you get appointed as a firefighter, and then are you assigned? Is everyone assigned to a truck, or is there desk duty? Because that's what I would be doing, desk duty.
We went right to the firehouse.
Really?
Yes.
So why did you want to be a firefighter? Why?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't my life goal. I was headed to law school.
Oh, fires, law school. Okay.
Well, my father, who was a firefighter in the city of Buffalo, said, "You're old enough, take the exam." And I said, "That's not what I want to do with my life. I'm going to law school."
Okay.
And he encouraged me to take the exam, and I did. And for the city of Albany, you're required to be an emergency medical technician. And his response to me when my grades came back from the fire exam were, "Well, you did pretty well. Why don't you go become an EMT? And my response to him was, "Well, why? I'm not going to be a firefighter." And he said, "First aid is a great life skill to have. Knowing what to do in an emergency, whether you become a firefighter or not, it's useful information." And I followed his advice. I was 19. I'd do what my father said to
right.
get him off my back.
Your obedient daughter.
No? I resisted.
Okay.
So I did that. And then the letter came from the city that said, "We'd like to offer you a position." And once again, I turned to my father and said, "Why? This isn't what I want to do."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Try it. If you don't like it, you can always quit." And I didn't quit. It's the best job in the world. If you ask any firefighter, they'll tell you they have the best job in the world.
And what is it that makes it the best job in the world, really? Number one and number two.
Well, I think it's different for every person.
Okay.
For me, I find it a double-edged sword to say that I like my job. I love my job. If you think about what I do, I'm helping people, and we are helping people at the worst point in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Their loved one is sick. They are sick. Their house is burning. So for me to go to work, somebody else is suffering. So it's hard to say I love my job. But what I can do is be there to help. We mitigate the problem, try to make things lessen. And that's what I love about my job, is the being able to help part.
Now, I know for some other civil service jobs, there's like a height requirement and all of that. None of that.
So
a short woman like me, well, young, like Bree, probably.
There's no age requirement. So in the city of Albany, which is really what I can speak to, there's a civil service exam, that general knowledge information.
Mm-hmm.
You're required to be an emergency medical technician. Departments in other areas may or may not require that. Some require paramedics level training. Some required first responder training. Some require no medical training. It depends on the department.
Okay.
For the city of Albany, we require an emergency medical technician.
So that's the EMT. That's
an
the
EMT.
Guy who rides the ambulance and if something happens.
Well, we ride fire trucks in Albany. Yes. All of our firefighters are either EMTs or paramedics.
Okay.
And we can't transport you in a fire truck. So when we respond to a medical call, Mohawk Ambulance responds with us to transport you to the hospital.
And so what sort of equipment do you have that you have to learn to use as a firefighter?
The trucks.
Driving the truck.
Driving the truck.
Which is pretty big.
Running the pumps.
Okay.
How to place the hoses, where to place the hoses, where to place the ladders.
Now, is it true that that hose can knock you down if you don't ground yourself?
If the pressure's heavy enough. But
okay. But generally speaking, no, you're okay.
You're okay.
An average person can hold the fire.
You learn how to do it. That's part of the training. You don't need any fire training to actually join the fire department. You'll get all of that in recruit school.
And how long is recruit school?
For us, it's 14 to 16 weeks.
That's a long time.
There's a lot of training requirements.
So in 14 weeks, what are some of the things you have to learn in this 14-week class?
Everything I just told you. Ventilation, where to place the truck, mm-hmm. how to put the fire out,
mm-hmm.
how fires burn, the path they take, the pattern they take.
You have to learn that too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go ahead.
Considering that you wanted to go to law school and that you didn't go to law school, what would you say are the links between being a firefighter and what you would have been doing had you went to law school?
Probably the critical thinking and decision making.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the most similar. They're very different though. There's not.
What advice would you give to a young person considering that you joined the fire, you became a firefighter and you love your job coming from a place of wanting to go to law school? What would you say to a young person who might either be in a similar situation or are trying to figure out, you know, what route to take and why?
That's a good question. I often talk to middle school, high school kids, and I tell them the same thing my father told me. Try it. If you don't like it, you can always move on.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do in your life, you make the best decision you have with the information that you've got at the time. And if it turns out it's not a good decision, once you're more informed, you can make a different one.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, you mentioned critical thinking being so important as a firefighter. What is an example of some critical thinking you'd have to exercise while on a fire? Like, what does that mean? For someone who may not even know when you say critical thinking.
We start with our life safety and then the life safety of the public.
Okay.
Our life safety usually comes first, not because we're more important, but if we're part of the problem, we can't help mitigate it.
Right.
Knowing that how fire spreads and the path that it takes and the chemical reactions that go on, finding the seat of the fire and putting it out so it doesn't spread, knowing the decision, am I going to do this job first? Am I going to do that job first? What portion of my job needs to be done in which step?
So I recently bought a house, and my uncle said, make sure you get a fire extinguisher mm-hmm. for every room. This is what he said. No, he said for the kitchen, for your bedroom, and for downstairs in the basement where all of the furnace and everything is. So, you know, like you, obedient, I went and I bought these fire extinguishers and I put them in the places that you're supposed to. He told me to put them in, and I told a friend who was visiting, I was so proud. I have a fire extinguisher in the basement next to the furnace. And he said, if the furnace starts rumbling, the fire extinguisher is not going to help you. The house is just going to go boom, you know.
Get out. Call 911.
Call 911. So what are some of the things you would tell the average person who's a homeowner or in an apartment in terms of what they need to have in their house or what they should do to make sure or to decrease the possibility of a fire?
Decrease the possibility of a fire. Candles not left unattended, you know. That is probably valuable. Don't overload outlets.
Okay.
You have a grease fire in the kitchen, don't pour water on it.
Mm-hmm.
Put a top on the pot. Okay. I do have a fire extinguisher in my own kitchen.
You do?
I do not have one in the basement or the bedroom, though. Smoke detectors, working smoke detectors.
Okay.
Not pulling the battery out because it went off from steam or smoke in the kitchen is valuable, very important. That early alert. So many years ago when furniture and things were made out of cotton and wood, fire doubled in size roughly every minute.
Okay.
Because of technology, if you look around your house, people have large screen TVs, they have computers, they have wires, they have furniture that wears better, carpet that wears better. Those are mostly made of petroleum products. Your home is fuel for that fire. And fire now doubles in size roughly every 30 seconds. So that early alert from a smoke detector to get out of your house is the best thing.
So petroleum products, polyester is one,
it's
right?
It's fuel for the fire.
That can cause the fire to move faster than like a piece of
faster.
Cotton. I had no idea. Did you
petroleum
know that?
Products know burn that. Differently.
I didn't know that. I knew there's a reason why I don't like polyester.
What would you say has been the most is, I think, very hard, but the most important or most pressing lesson that you've learned from work that's seeped into your personal life?
The teamwork, the value of the people that I work with. Knowing that they rely on me and that I can rely on them. It is a family, and like a family, there's personality issues. Sometimes we get along, sometimes we don't get along, but that the value of teamwork and just knowing that somebody's going to be there. We go into fires in teams, and we stay together. We work together. And the ability to work with others.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to us talking to having an interview with Deputy Chief Maria Walker of the Albany Fire Department. We're talking about firemen and why people want to do this job. You know, when I was doing a little research on the history of firefighters, there was a lot in the history about the Irish people being involved in firefighting.
Yes.
You know, did you tell me you were Irish?
I am. My maiden name is McGarry.
I think that's pretty Irish, right?
It's very Irish.
So why did the Irish men, or I'm assuming back in the 50s and 40s in the past, why did they get involved in firefighting? Why was that an attractive profession for Irish immigrants?
I honestly don't think that it was. The information that I've read on that, back in the early 19th century, when the Irish saw the signs on buildings that said, Irish need not apply. They were left with the jobs that no one else wanted. This is what I've read about it.
Okay.
The dirty jobs, the dangerous jobs, firefighting and police officers. And that's how it seemed that there were many Irish in firefighting.
So now the fire departments are changing, obviously. There are more than just Irish men on the fire department. We have a female deputy chief. I'm sure we have African Americans on the fire department. Is the
wide variety.
Is it changing? Is there a wide variety?
Yes, I think there is. The interesting thing is fire departments have taken a look at that and are working to make the department more reflective of the community they serve. And the Albany Fire Department has done that. Our recruitment efforts center around having our department reflect the city of Albany.
And is that a good thing with to have that diversity within the department? Because, you know, people talk about all the men living together and it was this camaraderie of men, and now you have the women interjected into the fire department and maybe someone that doesn't look like them. Has that changed the fire department in any way for the better, or, you know, for the are there issues?
I would say for the better, but my opinion may not be the same as someone else's.
I think, what do you think? You were in the fire.
I was. And when I first started, there were people who were not thrilled I was there and people who were very accepting. But I don't think that that's solely a firefighting issue. I think that's similar in any profession that you're in. So for me, my standard when I got there, it was unusual at the time. I was the fourth female hired in the department. And I've always said that the three girls that were hired ahead of me paved a very wide path. I was extremely lucky.
Wow.
And I really just had to walk down that path. There was some stumbling along the way, but I am grateful to them. Those three women that were hired ahead of me just made it easier for me.
Easier for you. So when is the next class of firemen coming through? Do you have to take an exam? Do you give the exam every year, once a year, every 6 months? How does that work?
The exam can be given, usually it was given every 2 years. I believe the next test The list has been extended by civil service to be 4 years. So okay. We will be having an exam, I believe, coming up in 3 years. But there's plenty to do in that time. It seems like a long time, mm-hmm. but with the requirement to be an EMT, it's not a weekend course. That is a 6-month course.
Okay.
Depending on when you take it. If you take a class that's offered during the day, Monday through Friday, it's a shorter course than if you're doing it 2 nights a week. But it can take up to 6 months.
So for people to be ready for the next test, which you said is going to be given in 3 years, they need a 6-month lead time in order to prepare for the EMT, pass it successfully?
Well, you don't need it to take the exam.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
You don't. But that's something they could do in the meantime.
Okay.
Classes are usually offered in colleges and around the area. It's a basic first aid.
You're right. Well, listen, Chief, we thank you so much for coming in and telling us about all things fire.
Thank you for having me.
That was Deputy Chief Maria Walker of Albany Firefighters Department, an aspiring firefighter.
For those of you just tuning in, I'm Lavonia Mallory.
And I'm Bree. You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM Troy.